Thanks for listening to the Lunch and Learn with Dr. Barry, here to help educate, motivate, and put you on the right path to take control of your health through weekly discussions on topics in the medical field, public health arena, and in your community. And now your host, Dr. Barry.
Imagine you have an amazing delicate base with beautiful patterns, beautiful colors. And those patterns and colors represent memories and experiences of your loved one. Now, continue to imagine that same vase start to develop tiny cracks. Those colors start to fade. Those patterns start to fade away. That is the same experience that your loved ones are experiencing with dementia. And more importantly, it's the experience of the family members who have to live with that loved one or take care of that loved one with dementia that really doesn't get talked about. But fortunately, I have America's favorite grief counselor, Naisha Garza, here to give us a little insight on just what it means, especially from a grief perspective, dealing with a family member who no longer remembers your name. So, Ms. Garza, thank you for joining the episode again. You are definitely one of the very requested guests with your previous episode, and we will put that in the description and show notes if you did not catch our previous episode with us. Naisha, thank you for joining.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Pierre. I appreciate it.
So give a little introduction on just on who you are, and then we'll kind of go in, you know, a little, because obviously I think especially with this discussion here, we'll talk a little bit about Wendy Williams, right? Like, and again, this isn't going to necessarily be a discussion on the medical aspect of dementia. Like, mm-hmm. I'll get a neurologist to talk about that. But like, mm-hmm. I really want to focus on the opposite end of the experience of family members that doesn't really get talked about enough.
So, name's Naisha Garza. I am the CEO and founder of Daniels Harbor Therapy Center. We're located in Navarre, Florida. Daniels Harbor is inspired and in honor of my son, Daniel, who died at the age of 2.5 from a rare blood disorder. So I wanted to provide a space for families dealing with traumatic grief so they can have a space where they are, there's no judgment. They have empathy and understanding. So that's what I want Daniels Harbor to bring to the community.
Thank you. So talk to us a little bit about just this aspect. And we were kind of talking off mic as far as the aspect of dementia, right? So I'll first start off with, the popular discussion, right? A couple weeks ago, Wendy Williams was diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia. And subsequently, she had a lifetime series that kind of walked through kind of some of the stages in transition. Now, for those who may not know, Wendy Williams was, a well-known radio disc jockey, announcer, had a popular TV show. So her thing was communication. And what we know with frontotemporal dementia is that one of the things that goes away is your ability to communicate. But what I liked about that series was it wasn't necessarily focused on, the diagnosis per se, but really focused on everyone around her and how everyone had to adjust. And as a physician who takes care of patients in nursing homes and long-term care facilities, I unfortunately know quite well what that experience is, especially from a medical side, of the patient who has dementia and, subsequently the family members who are dealing with their loved ones with dementia. Like, can you talk to us a little bit about just from, and I want you to speak from the family side. Like, what do you think some of the experiences are dealing with a loved one with dementia?
So with my experience, telling you at the beginning prior to we start recording, when I was interning at the nursing homes, just seeing how the family members have a difficult time, especially if it's a parent, right? A parent doesn't remember their child. So for the child, that does something to them. Like, it was to the point where they wasn't even coming to visit their parents. I guess kind of also taking it personal, it's something that is being done to them intentionally, not really grasping or
Yeah.
understanding that what their parents are dealing with, right? So it's like, so dealing with that part of not being remembered by their by that parent, so now they're struggling, and then they just leave them in the nursing homes.
And I like the fact that you kind of mentioned the aspect of intentionality, because a lot of families don't realize that the progression of the disease, which is dementia, is that, you know what, I'm just not going to remember. And what's worse, and I tell people all the time, especially on Lunch Learning Community, when we're trying to think about dementia, memory loss, if I have memory loss, I remember that I used to be able to drive that car, or I used to be able to go down the street. I have a memory of that. But when I'm demented, that is not even a thought that comes in my mind.
This week's episode is brought to you by the Autism in Black Foundation, which is hosting the 4th annual Autism in Black Conference. This year's theme is Bridging the Gap, which is helping to celebrate our unique experiences, cultivating a community of understanding while building a brighter future together. Autism in Black Conference is designed by and for the Black autism community, centering on our needs, experiences, and aspirations. The conference looks to provide a safe and supportive space where Black individuals, families, professionals, and advocates can all come together to learn, share, and empower one another. For more information, including how to purchase tickets for the virtual conference, please check out drbarrypierre.com/AIB2024.
So like there is no sense of grief or worry that I can't drive that car anymore, that I can't go out to the place, because I didn't know I could do that anyways. So when you think about like now, I didn't know that you were my kid, right? Like that's even tough to think about. I did not know you were my kid. And oh, okay, thank you for introducing yourself. Like, and this is the common experience that people have, where it almost becomes this kind of waxing. I see a lot of waxing and waning, where sometimes they have good days and sometimes they have bad days. And their bad days is, I don't know who this person is next to my bed. And you know, they seem nice. I appreciate you for visiting me, but I'm sorry. I don't, in fact, I'm not even sorry, because I don't know who you are to even feel sorry for. So I do love that you talk about this intentionality, because family members do tend to take that personal or on the chin. Like, it is something that their loved one is doing on purpose.
Exactly. So trying to help them, you know, also knowing that they're grieving too, helping them understand, okay, like, you're grieving that parent, you know, like, it's knowing that that parent is really, they're no longer there. The parent that you knew, they're not there. You know, so it's like, it's just knowing like you're visiting a complete stranger, right? Or even understanding too, like kind of on that aspect of the person with the dementia, right? Like they're asking for, like, you know, maybe asking for a spouse, or, you know, and now if that spouse is gone, now they have to relive their grieving all over again, right? It's a constant thing to have to continue to tell them, right? Like, oh, well, I'm so sorry, you know, your husband is no longer. Now they're grieving that again, right? And how many times in a day do you have to kind of talk to this?
And put them in that state again. And especially because, like you said, it is something where they can have pieces of memories. Like we talked about at the beginning, this vase that's cracking.
Yeah.
You can still have pieces of like, oh, I do remember being married. So where's my guy? Where's my husband?
Yeah.
Where's my wife? Like, I do remember being married, and then having to learn the spouse isn't there anymore, and then having to go through it. And because you don't even remember that experience of having to go through it, you may ask it the next day. Like, hey, where's my husband? Where's my wife? So I think that's so tough, especially when we think about grief, right? Because obviously I know that's your thing, right? When you're thinking about grief, and a lot of times people focus on this aspect of grief when we have total loss, right? When, you know, the family member passes away, and they assume that the grief is only kind of fixated within that, you know, sphere. But like you mentioned, imagine you're going to visit a totally different person. This is a stranger. And like it's even tough to think about that your mom or dad may one day be a stranger to you. someone you've grown up with for 30, 40, whatever the time frame is, from that standpoint there. What do you think about those family members, right, who do have to take care of the loved one who has dementia, who do have to, you know, take care of them, you know, essentially, you know, usually they have to take care of their finances, take care of her. And especially when we were watching the Wendy documentary, a lot of that was focused on Wendy's business affairs. And was Wendy at a point where she could even be the person to make decisions on her behalf? And, you know, from a family drama standpoint, there was a little struggle, right?
Yeah. Like,
one party here, one party there. So those family members who do have to experience that, what are some things that you could tell them that could be somewhat encouraging or somewhat, you know, being able to help get them from day to day?
Sorry to break your concentration. I know you are probably knee deep into today's episode, but do not forget, check out our Lunch and Learn community store, shop.drbarrypierre.com. Remember to use the code EMPOWER10 and make sure you are leaving us a 5-star review, especially on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thank you. Now back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Yeah. And it's knowing that their feelings, you know, what they're feeling is valid, right? Because this is a loss, right? That, you know, so it's knowing, like you said, people think grief is just when people are dying, right? Or have died, like loss comes in so many different forms, you know, like they're grieving. Yes, their parent is still living, but once again, that parent is no longer there. So it's knowing that what they're feeling is, their feelings are valid, right? But what I mean is not taking it out on that loved one, because that loved one is not doing it intentionally, but, you know, but acknowledge their feelings, right? Be okay with what they're feeling. Like, okay, yeah, I am sad, you know, acknowledge that they're sad, that, you know, this person doesn't, my mom doesn't remember, or my dad doesn't remember me anymore, you know, being able to express those feelings. And also respite care, right? Self-care is going to be big, because once again, it's a lot to take care of someone, take care of a family member, right? Who's totally dependent on you. And let's not even think about, like you said, when you're talking about like the family dynamics of things, right? So if you have, there's some trauma or anything within, like, let's say the child, the relationship wasn't great.
Oh yeah. Right? I mean, so, obviously we're talking about taking care of a family member who we hope you had a great relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they didn't always take.
Exactly. So now you got to take care of this person who, you know, wasn't there for you, right? Maybe that wasn't there for you. Now you're dealing with you're grieving that too, dealing with that trauma of, now you want me to take care of this person who may have wasn't even in my life, right? Or wasn't good to me, right? Or, you know, whatever it was. So helping them understand, like, yes, your feelings are, you know, letting them know, feel your feelings, journal, whatever it is, don't suppress them, because the more we suppress, they're going to eventually come out one way or the other.
Okay. Yeah, you can only hold them so long.
Exactly. And so that's, you know, like, so knowing that too, because that's where a lot of where the elderly abuse comes in too, right? Because of that, of the things like that. So it's like self-care, acknowledging that this does hurt, you know, not pretending like it doesn't, especially if there's a lot of siblings, that's probably even, and not, let's not even say if they don't, within the Black community, if they don't have a will or any.
Oh man, we really about to, that's a whole.
That's right? So that's a lot. So, cause you got one sibling that may be like, no, let's do this. And other one's like, well, no, let's do that. And then what do you do? Because there is no living will, there's no will, there's nothing, right? So you're trying to figure that out. So now tensions is high, everybody has these emotions, but nobody wants to talk about the emotions, right? Everybody wants to keep it taboo. Like, let's just sweep it under the rug. You know, it's going to be okay. You know, being in denial about that, to even being in denial about their parents having dementia.
Oh yes. That happens. I'm always sometimes shocked when I talk to the family members and kids and nieces, and I'm like, yeah, you know, your granddad has dementia, right? No. He's sharp as a tack. No, he is not. No, I don't know where you got that. No, he is not. because the decision you need to. And I think a lot of that is fear of like, oh my God, if I say he can't make decisions, I may be tasked. I have to make those decisions.
Exactly, right? Now I have to be the one to carry this, the weight of this, right? Or even let's say both, like, and then if that, not only if you have one parent, both parents are living, you have one that has dementia, then the other one, you know, so it's like, mm-hmm. he may still needs help. Mm-hmm. So what do? Right? Because that the wife or the spouse may be in denial too. Like, no, everything's great. You know, they don't want them to go to nursing homes. You know, they want them to stay. No, they're fine. They can take care of themselves. We're good. So all those things, like, it's also knowing that you're grieving their independence. Right? They're good.
Okay. What I love is that what you kind of illustrate is that it's the center of attention, obviously, when it starts with the patient. Mm-hmm. But when you just kind of branch out and then expand, you can see how many people become mm-hmm. affected with the one loved one who mm-hmm. is demented.
Yes.
And because a lot of the focus typically is centered on the person who's demented, mm-hmm. I don't think a lot of energy or discussion or talk is based on like who else like is either directly or indirectly affected one way or the other. So that's, I think that's, I love this discussion here because we're able to kind of, you know, connect the dots and say, hey, you know, if this person right here is demented, there's a lot of dominoes that fall mm-hmm. when things aren't either done right or things aren't taken care of, or people are forced into positions that they may necessarily not want to be forced to take care of. Mm-hmm. And that is where that grief, and I know you kind of mentioned a little bit about even like, I don't want to say disdain might be a big word, but maybe a little bit of anger, right? They're just mixed feelings. It's not all roses.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's knowing that too. And so everybody thinks like, oh, well, since it's not rose, you know, like everything has to be roses, right? Mm-hmm. Everything has to be, since this person has dementia, everything's great. Like they were the best person ever, right? You know, and sometimes they can be actually meaner. Mm-hmm. I mean,
You know, it's so funny because typically, especially from a medical standpoint, when you're demented, one of the things, especially the type of dementia you may have, one of the issues is that your frontal lobe, the one that essentially tells you, hey, don't say that, don't mm-hmm. do that, be nice, like that aspect of the brain isn't there. So your control center of being able to bite your tongue, right? Like for, mm-hmm. you know, layman speak, isn't there. Mm-hmm. So now you have this parent who, or loved one who used to, you know, be good at biting their tongue. Now they can't do that no more. And now they're saying whatever comes to their mind.
Whatever, right? And depending on how it was when they were growing up, that could be a trigger too, right? So depending on how they were, you know, like how the parent talked to them when they were younger. Mm-hmm. So now it could be, so now they're reliving that again, right? While they have to sit there and take care of this loved one, try to be, you know, being nice to this loved one who's really just being rude and mean to them. So they feel like they can't express those feelings, but you can express them. You need to express them because your feelings are valid. You know, it's knowing that, yes, that is frustrating, right? Having that, you know, the support of people around you, knowing that it's okay that, you know, what you're feeling is valid. Your feelings are valid. I can't take away your feelings. No matter how much I try to, you know, like, okay, don't feel this. You still feel it.
Yep.
Doesn't
yep.
matter. You still feel it.
And you're not in the wrong. You're mm-hmm. not the bad person exactly. for experiencing feelings that sometimes may be justified.
Yeah. Exactly. And knowing that you're grieving, and that's the thing people think, you know, like, but you are grieving. Once again, you're grieving that loved one, that like that parent or, you know, whoever it is, you're grieving that person because they are no longer there. They're a shell of who they were, you know, so it's letting them know, like, it's okay. Right. Or like being triggered. Right. Okay. And feeling like, okay, nothing should bother me. Everything should be okay. Right. I got to focus on them. But now you're forgetting yourself. Now, what about your mental health?
Now, and I kind of mentioned before recording that in some of my nursing homes, mm-hmm. I got family members who don't come to see their parents, mm-hmm. who don't come to see their loved ones. And even on like the notes, they'll be like, hey, call me if, you know, if it happens, like if they pass away. But I don't need to hear about none of the day to day issues. Like, they got to go to the hospital. Okay, good. You don't need to keep me informed.
Yes.
And when I first started medicine, I used to feel a way about that. I was like, wow. Like, man, how could you let your loved one just sit in this building by themselves and, you know, with no one to visit them, no one. But then as you kind of experience both sides, and as you, you know, understand that the family dynamics isn't equal for everyone, you kind of understand how a person could get to that point where they don't want to visit their loved one anymore. You can kind of understand that. And then yes. I think it took for even for me as a physician, it took some growth for me to understand that is not a wrong way of doing things. That's just a different way and probably a more, I don't want to say efficient. I don't know what the word is, but like just a more kind of better way to deal with those feelings of grief and loss with this, unfortunately, this person who's now a stranger.
Exactly. Like I, you know, telling like my clients, like, you know, you have to put, you know, you have to protect your mental health, right? We have to protect our mental health as well. So knowing that, okay, I got to set boundaries and I can't, you know, I can only take so much. I'm not going to continue to put myself in this position. That's okay. It's not a bad thing because you're like, okay, hey, this is all I can handle, you know, the window of tolerance, right? So why am I going to continue to put myself in a space that I can't handle? Right. Like you said, it's not that they don't love them. It's just, it's hard. They're grieving. Mm-hmm. They're grieving. Right. So, and everybody grieves differently. There's no right or wrong way to grieve. So this is how they're grieving, trying to grieve. And it's sudden, right? It's not some, you know, like things happen just like, especially if they're in denial.
Yep.
So if they're in denial, then all of a sudden they go and then it's like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
So oh, yeah. Now,
like, you could see, especially just kind of watching that documentary, you can see there are parts where Wendy's with it and she kind of understands what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then there's parts where like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, nah, you should not be like in charge. And I think, and that always, that transition stage of not necessarily having a full diagnosis or being fully outwardly symptomatic from it, mm-hmm. to like being full blown, I think a lot of people think it is a snap, right? Mm-hmm. Like one day you're good, one day you're not good. No, there usually is that transition period, and that's usually when the family members are in denial, where there's just certain parts where mm-hmm. it just creeps out. And I say, yeah. Hey, I'm like, hey, this person right here probably shouldn't be driving no more, or they're gonna mess around and not remember where the house is, mm-hmm. right? Or I don't know if this person should have access to their checkbook. Because they're going to go online and spend all kinds of money. And you're not going to know about it. They're not. What's worse, they're not going to pay their bills and you're not going to know about it. You're going to think the bills are being paid because they're used to paying mm-hmm. their bills. And in their mind, like, oh, the bills are being paid. But they don't realize mm-hmm. that they're the ones who's supposed to be responsible for paying said bills. And they just forget. But they just, oh, I know my bills are paid. I don't remember how the bills get paid. But oh, my bills are paid. Next mm-hmm. year, 3 months later, no insurance. Right, no car insurance, no. Mortgages behind, all because you thought your loved one was good,
mm-hmm.
and you kind of left them alone.
Yeah, exactly. I know, like you were saying with the Wendy, like I think it was she was calling her brother, thought it was her husband.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like you said, they have those moments of going in and out, right? So it's like you said, it's them recognizing and not being in denial about, okay, this is what's happening and what do I need to do? Because once again, the fear of our parents or, you know, loved ones getting older, right? Mm-hmm. Having to deal. Now we have to deal with this, the reality of it. Like they're not okay, right? Because once again, people don't want to have, for some reason, death to be something that we know is inevitable.
No, we know it's guaranteed. You know it's happening.
It's happening. But
When you try to start a conversation, people run away from it like the plague.
Yeah, it's like just let's never talk about it, right? Let's just never talk about it. Let's never acknowledge it, and then it's to the point where it's too late. Now you're in deep mm-hmm. with it now, right? Yep. So now you're so in deep, you know, in with it, and it's like, okay, what do I do now? because you had all these feelings, right? Because you suppressed everything. So now everything's overwhelming because everything wants to come out at once. Mm. Now, I don't want to deal with all these feelings. Yeah. It's too much, right? So they say, so they keep throwing it away or pushing it aside. And then it grows and grows and grows. And now it's like, what do you want me to do? It's like, well, you got to feel. You got to sit with those feelings. You got to walk. It's learning to walk with your grief. I think that's the thing. Because there's, once again, there's no time. That time heal all wounds. Once again, there is no time. You know, you're learning to walk. There's no destination with the grief. There's not a destination. It's no healing. Right? You're learning to live. You're learning to live without that loved one.
And I love that because, you know, just that thought of thinking that it's going to be, you know, a month, 3 months, 6 months, and I'm going to be okay, mm-hmm. puts you in a position where you put off trying to be okay with this new adjustment of life. Like, oh, you know, if I just give it 30 days, I'll be good. So I'm not going to learn anything new. If I just give mm-hmm. it a month, I'll be good. Yeah. I'm not going to learn nothing new. If I give it a year, I'm not going to learn mm-hmm. anything new. I should be fine. And then the year comes by, you're like, wow, it still sucks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The person's still estranged to me. And mm-hmm. I still have some feelings, either good or bad, towards this person. Mm-hmm. And, oh, by the way, this person doesn't even know that I'm the one responsible for taking care of them.
Exactly.
And I've seen a lot of times where the person who's demented gets angry at the loved one, right? Because mm-hmm. now they feel like, oh, no, that's the enemy. This mm-hmm. is the enemy who's forcing me to stay in the nursing home, who's yeah. kicked me out of my house, who's taken my cars. Like, so like, if, especially lunch and learn community, I want you to think about it. And this is why I talk about this aspect of being your own family counselor, right? Where it's dangerous, mm-hmm. right? It's dangerous mm-hmm. when you try to take on the burden of your family without mm-hmm. that support, because you get into a situation when you're forced to do it. And then all of a sudden you are now the bad guy in that loved one's eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think it's extremely tough, mm-hmm. you know, for, and it's extremely tough positions, obviously for the patient who is yeah. demented, mm-hmm. obviously, right? We're, yes. And, you know, this discussion here isn't to downplay those with dementia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But what this conversation and discussion is really about saying, hey, let's mm-hmm. also talk about the families.
Exactly.
See what the families are experiencing, right? Again, I'm watching this Wendy Williams doc, and I think it was her daughter. And, you know, apparently Wendy has, like, you know, an administrator or someone else who might handle business affairs. And you could tell there's some beef there. Mm-hmm. And you could just tell this daughter is confused mm-hmm. at the situation. And all she sees is her loved one that she can't take care of because there's roadblocks in the way. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's one of those things where I don't want us to, yes. Like Wendy Williams, yes, she has dementia. Yes, it's sad. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that Lifetime series, I think, did a good job, right? At least, you know, in spurts, right? Yeah. Really focusing on, like, all right, how is this family member right here getting affected? And how is this mm-hmm. person getting affected? And I think that's why I said, oh, you know what? I got to get Aisha on the show, because yes. that is an aspect that I know for a fact does not get talked about a lot.
Yes, like you said, because they're so focused, like you're saying, they're so focused on the person with the dementia that the rest of the family, you know, they're forgot about, or they feel like they can't, right? Because it's, oh, now I'm being selfish because I'm feeling something, or I'm angry, or I'm sad. So once again, now you're being called selfish because why are you worried about you? You need to be worried about this family member, mm-hmm. right? But it's like, no, you still got to worry about their feelings. We need to, you know, recognize those, acknowledge them, validate them, letting them know, like, what you're feeling. That's a normal thing to feel. You're not doing anything that's wrong, right? Of course you're going to feel some type of way. Like you said, you know, like you said, if you're 45 and this has been your parent, all of a sudden this, like you said, they don't even like you no more. They don't want to see you. What if they don't want to see you? Like you said, like you're the enemy now, mm-hmm. right? And now they're not even showing you any type of nothing.
Nothing. No love, no nothing. You're just
nothing. You're just there. And so you're supposed to be okay with that? No. You got feelings and you're going to feel those.
I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah. So it's just letting them know that it's normal to have these feelings, right?
That's so beautiful. Before we let you go, right? Before we let you go, because again, it's every time we get on here, right? Like I think you not only necessarily help us move the needle, but continue that shed that light, right, on the importance of not only facing grief, but facing it head on, and recognizing that there is no bad response to grief. It's just your response
exactly.
to grief.
Exactly.
Before we let you go, I want you to let people know where they can find you, right? Where they can, especially if they need some grief counseling, and it's where they can follow you, right? Because I think this is definitely a conversation that we'll probably have to continue on for various other topics. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that, you know, just seeing what Wendy was experiencing, and I was just like, oh, you know what? Don't know, and I can tell. I'm just, because obviously I'm reading comments, and I'm just seeing so many people. They not really feeling the way certain people are responding. I'm like, oh, you don't even know. You don't even know. Mm-hmm. And they already told me, like, oh, I know you don't have a loved one who has dementia, because you only saying that when you don't have to take care of a Wendy's Williams in that situation. Well, so where can people find you? Where can people find you, follow you?
So we are on Facebook. So we're on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram, and also our website, www.danielsharbor.com. So we're on social media, LinkedIn, and our website. And also,
remember, medicine money, guys, we will put the description in the show notes. It will be in the show notes. So you don't have to write it down real quick. It'll be in the show notes. My podcast mm-hmm. listeners will also be in the show notes as well.
Yes.
Thank you for. Sorry, you got more.
Yeah, I was just saying, and I'm licensed in Florida, oh, okay. Texas, and Alabama. So I'm not just for. Right.
So you do virtual consultations as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Good to know. So mm-hmm. what were those states again?
It's of course Florida, Alabama, and Texas.
Perfect. All right. So again, Lunch and Learn listeners, Lunch and Learn community. I want you, obviously, like I said, Wendy Williams is an important figure. We're saddened, right, that she got afflicted with this disease that essentially is going to take what she's most known for away, which is this aspect of communication. But I hope after this discussion here, you can look at the family members and those around her just a little bit different, with maybe a little bit more reverence, to say, like, okay, like, I'm not going to put you to the fire for the way you're acting, because it is a loss,
mm-hmm.
and it is a stage of grief that some people aren't used to, right? They only think loss and grief is when someone dies, but the person is still here. They're still mm-hmm. in front of me. But I've lost them forever.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Forever. Exactly. So like you said, just giving them some compassion, some grace. You know, give those family members grace as they are trying to process, and because they don't know, they never been through this, right? So there's no right or wrong. So like, they don't know how to navigate this. So they're just trying to do the best that they can.
All right. Thank you again, Aisha.
Thank you. Thank you again, Dr. Pierre, for having me on here. I appreciate that.
Thank you for getting to the end of the episode. I am yours truly, Dr. Barry Pierre, favorite board certified internist. Like always, remember to subscribe to the podcast, leave us a 5-star review, and more importantly, share this to at least 2 of the 5 of your friends and family members that you know that could be empowered with the words that you heard today. Again, so appreciative of all you guys' support. See you guys next week.